Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here. And again, a good message from Pastor Lutz there on the program before us. I hope you were listening to that. And then afterwards, of course, Pastor Rusnacko will be on at 2 o'clock. So I hope you'll stay tuned for that as well. But in the meanwhile, I hope you'll stay tuned with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we do have the phone lines open during this half hour. If you've got a question, you can give us a call toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this afternoon. And also, you can find us online, of course, at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And as soon as I can get everything going here properly, we will hopefully have the program streaming live on Facebook as well. So I hope you'll look on there if you want to check us out online there at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And let me just check something real quick here, just a moment. All right, I forgot there's a little knob I have to turn here so that the Facebook, YouTube live broadcast doesn't sound too garbled. So if you were trying to listen on there a moment ago, it might have been a bit garbled there at the front. Some odd reason there's a knob that I have to turn down just to make sure that sounds a little bit better. But at any rate, we're going to get into our program here today, and like I said, hope you'll give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. Let's open with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray, bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody today. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ, that they may be able to put their faith in Christ, that they can trust him as their Lord and Savior. Also, we can encourage believers in their walk with you. Bless our time today, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, a lot of stuff going on in the world today, and sometimes I want to just talk about things that are happening in the news. Sometimes there's some things in the Bible that I want to touch on, and so it's always kind of caught between different things, what to talk about, it's like I was telling somebody one time, used to always ask me, what are you going to do today? And I said, well, it's more a case of what am I not going to do today, because I don't have enough time to do the things that I want to do. And so that's, in a sense, with the radio, that's a good thing to have more things to talk about than you have time to talk about them. That's a lot better. But just want to encourage people to pray for Florida. If you've been watching the news any at all, certainly down in Florida, where Hurricane Dorian is gaining strength, and it's got the state of Florida dead in its sights. It looks like right now the southern third, southern quarter of Florida is probably where it's going to come in on Sunday night, I guess, and we'll wait and see what happens there, and I certainly pray for people there. I heard a little bit on the news earlier today where the governor of Florida was, reluctant to tell people to start evacuating right now from certain areas because he was fearful that they would be going into an area of greater danger. So certainly do pray for the people in Florida, and it's projected to hit now actually maybe even early Monday morning. Some of the projections now are it's just moving slowly, and as it moves slowly, it's been gaining strength. They're expecting now that it'll be they had set a category 2 or 3 at one time, then they upped it to a 3, and now they're talking about the potential for a category 4 storm hitting Florida. So it's a number of people have been pulling out of Florida whatever they can. You know, the military's been getting some things out of the way, and airlines have been adjusting their schedules. And I even heard the governor, when he was talking earlier, saying that it could be a 4+. Now, a category 4+, that's not a category. The 4+ is a category 5. And so certainly pray that it doesn't reach that strength. But looking at forecast here now, just called it up on my computer. This is from the National Weather Service National Hurricane Center, and they're saying that might not hit until Tuesday morning now. And so we need to pray for that. It's just been an odd sort of storm, and it's like I said, it's got Florida totally in its sight. So pray for the people down there, and keep track of that. If you've got loved ones down there, certainly pray and keep track of them. And it's an interesting story. Some of the cell phone service providers are readying drones to send into Florida should they have trouble with cell service. You know, in some of these storms, the towers are knocked out and it's hard for people to communicate. And so they're actually readying a fleet of drones that'll go up, and the drones will provide cell service into storm-damaged areas. And so we'll perhaps be talking about this maybe on Sunday night. I might even be able to have some other people weigh in on this. We're up in the air on that right now. And so do pray for the situation with the storm there. All right. Wanted to get into something here, too. And a number of things that happen in the world. If I had couple of hours a night, a couple hours an afternoon or whatever, you know, or even an hour a day, certainly cover a lot more. But a lot of times, some of the things that we talk about that are happening in the news with some of the terrorist activity, some of the unrest that's going on in Jerusalem and do pray for, or in Israel, in Jerusalem in general, but also Israel. But do pray for that situation over there. They have had a number of things going on. Hezbollah has been threatening, and they've been trying some attacks. And of course, there was the last weekend, the drone attack against Israel, and they countered that, took out the drones, and actually sent in some drone attacks, and some attacks inside of Syria, Lebanon, even Iraq, some Hezbollah strongholds and things, and so the saber rattling is ratcheting up over there. Do pray for that situation there. But we look at that, and then we look at stories in the news, the shootings and stabbings, and then the opioid problems and corruption in government. This report that came out on the former FBI director James Comey showing his pattern of corruption, and just all of these things that are happening in the world. And we tend to look at these individual news items and forgetting that these are merely symptoms. These are symptoms of the underlying sin nature that we have. And I thought of that this morning. I was thinking about that. And we talk about the symptoms, like going to the doctor when you have cancer and the doctor treats your symptoms, when the underlying problem is the cancer that needs to be taken care of. And we have a cancer that is infecting humanity. That cancer is called sin. It wasn't always that way. God created us. A direct act of creation. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 1, in verse number 26, and this is on day 6 of the week, the creation week, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." And this is what God originally created. And it says here in verse 11, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So when God created Adam, and of course in Genesis chapter 2, we have a little more detail on how God did it and then the creation of Eve. But when God created Adam and then Eve, he created them perfect. He created them without sin. They were holy and they were righteous and they had perfect fellowship with God. And God said that everything that he looked at, everything he had made, including Adam and Eve, and he said, "Behold, it was very good." So there was no sin in the world. Well, we also know that God created the angels, and we won't get into their details of their creation. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of detail, but we do know that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And it was at that time then I believe that the angels were created, because the Bible talks about the morning stars and the sons of God elsewhere, and implies that they witnessed and watched as God created the things that are on the earth during the creation week. So that implies they were created during the first day there. And that's something to remember, too. We tend to think that God dwells in heaven, and we limit God when we do that. But in reality, heaven dwells within God, and God is not limited. He is unlimited. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere present. He transcends his creation. He is within all of his creation and beyond all of his creation. One way that I phrase it sometimes when I'm talking with somebody is people tend to think that God is a function of heaven, and that's not it. Heaven is a function of God. And so when we see depictions of heaven in the Bible, God is not limited to that. He's not contained there. God manifests himself there. For instance, in Revelation chapter 4, when John is caught up into heaven and he sees the throne room of God, he sees the manifestation of God in heaven. But God is not contained by heaven. God transcends heaven as much as he transcends the earth. And when he created Adam and he created Eve, he created them without sin so that they could have a relationship with him, and so that God could fellowship with Adam and fellowship with Eve. And we know from Genesis chapter 3, or I should say that we gather from Genesis chapter 3, I think we can know it by faith, but we gather from Genesis chapter 3 that God would come and fellowship with Adam and Eve in the garden there. He placed them in the Garden of Eden that he created for them, and the details of that, of course, are in Genesis chapter 2. But you say, well, why did God, if everything was perfect, why did God allow Adam and Eve to sin? What is the whole purpose of that? And you know, that's one of the reasons why we have the problems that we have in the world today, because of sin. And some people would criticize God and say, well, if God is so all-powerful, why would he allow sin? Well, God could have created us, and he could have created us in such a way that we would never sin. All we would do is love him. All we would do is obey him. All we would do is praise him. But God wanted something more than that, and he still wants it today. God wanted fellowship. He wanted to have creatures that would choose to love him, that would choose to obey him, that would choose to praise him. And there's a big difference between choosing to do those things and doing those things because you have no choice. Now, there's a lot of people out there, unfortunately, that are falling prey to the heretical views of Calvinism. Now, before you say, oh, Pastor Al, are you an Arminianist? No, I'm not going to have a whole lot of time getting all the details between the Arminian position and the Calvinistic position, but I do recommend that you go to my website, Live with Pastor Al. I can't even think of my own webpage here, livewithpastoral.com. Just go to livewithpastoral.com. I have an article there that I wrote a few years ago called Tale of a Reformed Calvinist, and it's a pun in the thing there, and you'll see it when you read through there. But at one point in my life, I thought I had to be a Calvinist because I believed in eternal security. I believed that when Jesus said that he gave me eternal life, he meant eternal life, which means it cannot end. I believe that when he said in John chapter 10 that I will never perish, that it meant exactly what he said, that I would never perish. If I could lose my salvation the way the Arminians teach, then that would mean that he gave me conditional salvation with the possibility of perishing, but Jesus plainly said that he gave me eternal life and I would never perish. And so that kind of rules out the Arminian position that you can lose your salvation. Either that or Jesus was lying. And then, of course, the Calvinist position is that you have eternal security because God is sovereign, and he decided that he would create certain people to be saved and certain people to not be saved. And that's wrong, too. The biblical position is a third position. If you visualize a triangle with the biblical position, the biblical position being it is your choice whether you put your faith in Christ or not. You choose whether or not to be saved. And then once you choose to be saved, God keeps you by his power because he gives you eternal life and you will never perish. You are sealed until the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit of God. So when you look at that as the biblical position, you quickly realize that when you depart downward on the pyramid toward either the Arminian corner or the Calvinist corner, you're departing away from the biblical truth. And while both the Arminians and Calvinists have some truth, they both have a lot of error, and that's because both of those positions were devised by men who were struggling over some difficult passages in the Bible, and so just keep that in mind. But getting back to the creation of Adam and Eve, when God placed them in the Adam and Eve in the garden, when he placed them in the garden, he put a tree in the garden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and this is important in Genesis 2, verse 15, it says, "And the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, why did God do that? Well, remember, I said God wanted fellowship with creatures that would choose to love him, choose to obey him, choose to praise him. And in order to be able to choose to do those things, we have to have the valid choice of choosing not to do those things. Now, think about this for a minute. I'm in a studio right now that has two doors. I can choose to exit from one door, or I can choose to exit from the other door. When I choose to exit from one door, I'm choosing not to exit from the other door. Does that make sense? Now, if I was in a studio that had only one door, okay, then I could choose to exit from that door, but I could not choose not. I could not choose another door. I have no other choice. If I'm going to exit, I have to have only that. I have to go through only that one door. So there's really no choice. You have to have, in addition to the ability to choose one, you have to have the ability to choose something else so that you can choose the one and not choose or not choose the one. I hope I'm not making this too complicated, but the idea is by choosing to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, every time Adam and Eve saw that and they chose not to eat from that tree, they looked at it, they maybe thought about it, they chose not to eat from it. When they did that, they were choosing to have fellowship with God. They were choosing to honor God. They were choosing to obey God. They were choosing to love Him. They were choosing God over their own thoughts, their own preferences, their own desires, whatever. They were choosing to place God first. And that's the point. That's what the devil tempted Eve with. And we're fast running out of time. I don't have time to go through everything in detail, but it says in Genesis chapter 3, now in verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, she had added to what God had said there. God merely said, don't eat from it. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Meaning you will be on the level of God. You will be able to know good and evil. You know, think about this for a moment. They already know good. Evil is the absence of good. It's not merely the opposite of good. And this is where Satan, appearing through the serpent here, was tricking Eve. A lot of us think that evil is the opposite of good. No, it's the absence of good. See, in a number of hours, this studio is going to be dark. Not because somebody made it dark, but because of the absence of light. When the sun goes down and the business and the studio's closed up and the lights are off, there's an absence of light. That's why it's dark. You turn on the light and the darkness is dispelled. You turn off the light and the absence of light, it's dark. In the absence of good, you have evil. And in the absence of obeying God, which is good, you experience evil. So how is Eve going to know both good and evil? She already knows good. The only way she can really truly know evil is to not be good and to disobey God. And when the woman saw in verse 6 the tree was good for food, you know, this parallels 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. She saw that the tree was good for food. There's the lust of the flesh. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. There's the lust of the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. There's the pride of life. The Bible says that she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. They chose to reject God. This is where sin entered into the world. And it says in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You know what happened? They had died spiritually. They were no longer holy. They were no longer righteous. They were no longer sinless. They were now sinners. They had disobeyed God. Their fellowship with God has now been broken. They have spiritually died the very day, the very moment they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is why we need a Savior. The Bible says, by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. This is the whole reason Jesus Christ came into the world. It says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Adam had to admit that he sinned before God can bring about a situation where their sin could be covered through the sacrifice that God provided. You know what has to happen for you today? If you're lost without Christ, you're still in your sin. God's saying, where art thou? You need to confess your sin and realize that you can't cover up your sin yourself, no more than Adam and Eve could. You need a Savior. The blood of Christ that was shed on the cross cleanses from all sin. He died, he was buried, he rose again victorious over sin and death. Well, we're out of time. I hope you'll consider that. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.